Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. The last episode I did was a preview show of a show that happened at the Outpost. It was Revenge of the Riffs, headlining Giant Walker, supported by Raised by Wolves and the quality Dead Rebel. And that show went down really well. I got to see some people who listened to the show in real life at a show. Would you believe it? And it was nice to talk to those people and see what they wanted to get from a preview show as well. So it made sense to do another one. I want to do quite a few of these. I really enjoy doing them. About another upcoming show that I think you should check out, one that you maybe haven't considered or an event you haven't been before, or even some artists you haven't heard of before. And I wanted to kind of highlight them and do a preview show of those. And it made sense as well. At the same time, I was able to talk to the promoters of that show and a new group of promoters and a new promotions company, Terek Promotions, and promoters that are coming up. I'd like to talk to them about what plans they have and what they want to see at the show and future shows as well. So it made a sense to do both of them in kind of one episode, which is what this episode is. This episode is a preview, if you will, although they're most of the previews because they're talking about it, of a show that's happening on Saturday the 3rd of December at a wonderful venue called the North Shore Troubadour. And it's a wonderful venue. I went there for Ogun's return after being away for a while. It was a great venue and a great, what a sound system, and it's a wonderful potential, that venue. Lots of rooms and areas where things, wonderful things can happen. A very great sort of raw space there, which I really enjoy because I really plan on doing some things with them at future shows. And the North Shore Troubadours are maybe a venue you haven't considered before, and I really want you to consider it this time. Speaking of Ogun, they headline that show. They're opening this show, and it's going to be great to see Ogun in an opening slot as well. And this is a great bill. This is a great bill. So the Ogun opening and then Black Clown. And we haven't really heard of them or seen much from them, which is exciting because I got to do a little bit of a deep dive on Spotify for the stuff that they've done. That's a really interesting project. And we talk about that in the show that's coming up as well. And then headliners, Novacrow. I mean, the Spoken Metal Show loves Novacrow. You know, we've had members of the of Novacrow on there collectively, separately. We love them because they represent what the show is about, and certainly what Metal on Merseyside, the project that I'm involved with, certainly that is a whole ethos of that, a local unsigned independent band, you know, up and coming, and we get to follow them and see where they go. And now they're headlining. This is one of two shows they're playing before Christmas, and this will be a special show. Novacrow always put on a great show, but they're headlining, so there's going to be a large element of theatre there, and we get to see all the songs that we've heard on their newest album, Look At Me Now. And we get to see them in a live context, which is something I'm really, 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 really looking forward to. And they're headlining. So this is a great show, and this is run by, like I say, a promotions company called Terek. And we're going to get into that and talk to the people behind that now. And I believe this is the second show, I think, that they've done. I was at the first one, which was the Ogun one. I cannot wait to see what these people do and the bands that they book, and they've got a really great ethos. So it made sense to do this as a preview show of the show that's happening on Saturday, the 3rd of December at the North Shore Troubadour. But it also made sense to talk to the people behind it, Chris and Jess. And I'll probably get them on separately because they've both got some fantastic things to talk about. Jess and Kilimanjaro and Chris and what he was doing and does with photography, both independently fascinating people that I will get back on the show. But collectively, they are Terek Promotions. And as you'll hear from this, there's a wonderful element of experience there and a wonderful love of music and love of live music. And that really translates what they put together, this show. Because I just mentioned the musical acts that are going on at this show. There's also a whole bunch of burlesque and other wonderful acts going on. I love that. I loved it when there's a show where there's many different facets and elements going on. It just really makes for an interesting mix. And getting that mix right is really important for a promoter. And Terek have really started off well with that. Anybody that was at the Ogun show will see what I'm talking about how it was really well put together and flowed really beautifully. It's a nice sort of balance of different types of acts. And they do that really well. So that's the 3rd of December at the North Shore Troubadour. As always, you must like the events, as if you're going to go buy the tickets early and support the scene in that way. I would suggest checking this out. The last show I recommended was sold out. This may very well go the same way. And so I'd really like you to check it out and see what's going on. I get a chance to see some new music, be surprised. Who knows what Black Clown are going to be like? It'd be pretty amazing. Certainly the stuff that I've heard recorded sounds excellent. We know Hogan are amazing. We've had Joe and Andy on the show before, and they play. We've had Neil on the show. The Spoken Metal Show loves Hogan. And then obviously Nova Crow. What can we say? That is a wonderful, wonderful Saturday evenings listening there. And you get to see all the beautiful venue and get to check out the sound system and how great that venue is as well. But, you know, look, I could talk about this show as I would have done if I hadn't been speaking to these people. I could talk to it for another half an hour. I'd rather talk to the people behind Terric Promotions. So I did. This is me speaking to Chris and Jess. Ladies and gentlemen, been waiting to get these on the show for a while, and it's nice to finally sit down with someone, certainly Chris, who's welcome to the show, and Jess from Terric Promotions, if you will. I've been waiting to get Chris on for a while, and Jesse as well, so it's nice to have you both on. I know you both come from the front, shall we say, and been in the trenches yesterday evening and most of this morning, so it's nice for you to come on the show. I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
No worries.
It's fab, yeah, it's fab to be here.
Yeah, Jess, what time did you get done last night at the show?
Oh, gosh. 3 a.m. we finished and rounded off with a... you give McDonald's and you know you shouldn't be there. You've eaten drank too much. You know it's going to end up bad. 4 o'clock this morning that happened. So yeah, I'm a bit
a little bit. This is the side. You want glamour, ladies and gentlemen. You want the glamour of being a promoter. This is it. It's 4 o'clock in a McDonald's, wondering what the fuck's going on. Like that's the reality. There it is in real life. It's difficult to know where to begin because I wanted to speak to both of you for quite some time. And on the show, we'll cover the show that you've got coming up, the most recent show you've got coming up. And I want to talk about the shows that have gone before as well. But, I mean, guys, where does Terric begin? Where did that start initially for both of you?
So, good question. I mean, rewind all the way back to 2001 when I accidentally kind of fell into promoting. Well, it's that uni. Organizing Battle of the Bands competitions in Fudge in next to the Crazy House, and so kind of built up from there, and then we started running some club nights, we started running some more band nights and stuff, and then eventually me and Chris teamed up when Chris was running Lemon Hippo. Yeah. So it was like the universe pulled everything together, didn't it? It was like everything kind of fell into one place. It was around about 2009. Then we started working with Kilimanjaro, doing promo for Sonisphere and events for Sonisphere and running plugins at the festival. And then we teamed up with Bloodstock as well. And because obviously it Killy were part of it, Bloodstock at the time. And so we kind of just grew it from there. But then unfortunately, or fortunately, in 2012, I went off to work with Killy to work on a whole range of shows with them. And so it kind of halted what me and Chris were doing with what was called Alternative Nation at the time. It was 2018, we started talking about doing it again. We started talking about missing doing the events. We started, you know, kind of reminiscing over what we'd done and like we'd like to do it again. And then the dreaded COVID happened as we were fully fledged into launching the project. So kind of fast forward 2 years until last November, it's just been a whirlwind, absolute whirlwind. And it's great to be doing something that I we're both equally passionate about, you know, and it's great now because there's a real energy in the Liverpool metal scene, you can feel it's brewing up so much. And so it's and so that's where we find right now with Eric. And it's about what we're about is we're about promoting new talent. We're about supporting the scene. And certainly for us, which is, I think, a lesson learned from previous years and previous kind watching previous other promoters as well, is that we have to work together. In order for a scene to develop, like, promoters have to work together, and that's our ethos and that's our ethics. It's about and we are ethically driven. So we want to support people, not make money out of people. We want a scene.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about at Terek, me and Chris.
I love it. That's it. Like, yeah. You know, I've been talking on a few shows that I've been on and of my own about that, about, like, look, it used to be a time when promoters would fight each other. You know what I mean? It used to be quite a dog-eat-dog to a certain degree. You're doing this show, I'm doing that show, and whatever. And I think we've all realised that that's a load of bullshit, that basically, you know, the only way we all survive is we raise everybody else up as well, and it's important. So I'm really glad you said that, Jess. I mean, it warms the heart there. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. You know, I mean, what maybe some of the listeners don't realise is that, like, you know, exactly what a company, for example, like Kilimanjaro does, where they work with all the... You wonder how, like, when a big band comes to the country, they have, for those that maybe aren't aware, have a tour package that they will present to various promoters, and then it will get passed to them to do, because obviously they know their individual building and what to do. And it's that connection that people think doesn't happen. And the way that happens is that a promoter will put shows on and establish something there, either a venue or whatever it may be. So they have an understanding of the area. So someone who wants to put on another band there has someone to pass it off to, and someone pass it. That's why promoters at a small level are so incredibly important. And someone like yourself, Jess, is aware that the of an understanding of the area, understanding of the venue and the people and what they want. So when someone comes along with said tour package, you can go, that's going to work, that's not going to work, here's what we should do, and yada, yada, yada. And people don't realise sometimes that that's how we're connected to sort of the larger corporations. So Chris, so you were running at the time, what was it called? Lemon?
So it's Lemon Hippo. So okay. this was an interesting one. So originally from the off, I wanted to put original musicians on to play their own stuff. I've been to enough open mics, enough sort of acoustic nights, enough this, that, the other, that people were playing covers and getting paid for it, which is fair enough, but no one ever played their own songs, or if they ever did, the audience didn't pay attention. So sort of after watching so many of these, I approached it. So it used to be called 3345 Par Street, and that was above Par Street Studios. It was a little tiny bar. And the owner was like, we quite like this sort of... this ethos you've got. And what I wanted to do was a showcase night free in where people could play their own songs. And it was mainly acoustic at the time because it was small and sort of quite an intimate venue. So this started to develop. And then I was approached by the Jacaranda before it'd been sort of rehashed. So when it was still a bit of a dive bar. And I must have been in there for about 7 years running a Tuesday night acoustic showcase called Lemon Hippo. Having everything from sort of rock and metal right the way through to hip hop playing it. It was just whoever wanted to play a song got a chance. The night was free entry and all the people got free drinks. So the performance, so it was nice and sort of just there was no money in it for me. I wanted people to have their own music. I just give them a stage. And then sort of me and Jess met sort of as when we were much younger, and we both had the same sort of drive right the way through. So then Jess come on board with Lemon Hippo. So we moved into, where was it? We had Chameleons, and we had Vinyl Frontier on Lark Lane, and we had Lemon Hippo in the Jacaranda running at the same time for different sort of different types of genres and things like that right the way through. All alongside of this, I was, my real passion is photography right the way through, and I specialised in heavy metal. So I was Whiplash's main photographer for Sal's Last Thing. First ever gig was retained with 12 and a half foot flame jets and pig's blood, which was absolutely crazy. In the Mask, one of the craziest gigs. And fast forward 10 years later, I photographed them again, closing Bloodstock. And I looked at my first picture and looked at my last picture, and I was like, this is fascinating to see how I've changed and how my sights have changed, and obviously how my operations changed. And then I started to move to get the likes of Scare Tactics in, doing acoustic sets in like little sort of things, but they're playing like the likes of Drunk Fuck and things like that, but acoustically, which was quite an an interesting night to see. So it was metal gone acoustic and stripped back, and it was a really nice, polite venue. And they sang it, and it was quite a stare, shall we say, which was quite fun. And then, as Jess said, we approached the sort of, we sat there and we were going, I really miss doing this, so let's see what we can develop. And we've both got the experience to take it to a much bigger stage now and do the full band style things and do sort of a bit more organized, I think it's the best, but what we looked at, wasn't it? Yeah. We chose the name Terek because it means home, and it was a very sort of we wanted people to feel at home when they were there. That was the whole sort of ethos behind the event. And obviously we hit the pandemic and everything stopped, and then sort of we got through it all, we planned everything, then we launched in July, and it was an absolutely fabulous night, but we can go over that a bit later. But my background's generally been, it's promoting, running alongside, photographing some of the big spans in the scene. So it's been quite an interesting journey.
It's interesting, isn't it, that when we talk about people within the business, we kind of say that they are one thing. So you are a promoter, nothing else, or you are a photographer, nothing else. We don't realise that we're, you know, or certainly ladies and gentlemen listening don't realise that the people have multiple interests and can be involved in multiple things. You know, you could be a promoter and promote a DJ night, you know, just a music night. You can be a promoter, promote a different style of genre. You do that. You can do that. And in many ways, in order to survive, you have to have a few strings to your bow. I think it's really interesting what you say, because this is clearly born from you guys just loving the medium and loving the scene and wanting to do something with that. You know, you're both not calling at the moment from your mansion. There is no money in this. You know, there's no financial world. I've said it before, the promoters, there's no famous promoters, really, let's be honest. There's no famous people there. So you have to really enjoy this, and that's a beautiful thing, I think. So it's nice that, and like I say, you know, you being a photographer is as well, that opens up a whole load of doors about you running shows and seeing how shows are run too. You're not just a photographer, stands there, takes that. You will see how the world works and how a show works and go, okay, that needs to be done better and that needs to be done better. And like me, Chris, we've all had the day job where we've had to run things, and all those skills are transferable to being a promoter and running a show as well. It's all skills. It's all stuff you pick up and you put into what you're doing now. And I think, we'll talk about it right now. The launch party was just fucking was excellent, wasn't it? You know, I mean, it could not have gone better. Which leads us kind of to the first thing is, and I'm sure there'll be many homes, pun intended, if you will, for the promotion. But it's North Shore Troubadour that kind of was the launch and stuff and what have you. Why there, and how did you find it?
So we were going to use a number of other venues in town. And so we've gone to the larger chain managed venues, and obviously post COVID the business structure of those places it was not financially viable for us to do it at all, and so we searched around and around, and the band wanted something that the band needed something that had the production capabilities of justifying their show. Because I mean, when Ogon came back, it was quite funny, because I think I was on holiday, and I received a message at some ungodly hour in the morning from Chris saying, have you seen the news about Ogon? And I'm like, what news? And he's like, Andy's got the band mats here. I'm like, right, we're booking it. And like the minute that kind of we got back, it was launched straight into it. And we had a real problem finding the venue for the show, because it was just, it came off that point where everything had returned to normal. And so promoters were kind of firing through a backlog of shows, and places were penciled everywhere. And, you know, we challenged for a few dates in places. And then we checked out. I think it was Andy and Joey went up there and checked it out, had a look at it. Said, looks really cool. Had a little listen to the sound system, because they were setting up for an event there at the time, and said it sounded great. And so that was it. We jumped straight on it. And the beauty of North Shore is it's just got that amazing DIY atmosphere to it. There are no issues that can't be solved. It's all hands on deck, and You know, it's very rare you get that, especially when you it comes to using the larger venues where you know it's kind of every single element of running a show in there is broken down by costs, and someone's taking at least 5% of something what you're doing in there. None of that at all. We had full creative freedom to do what we wanted to do, and that was I think that was the beauty and what made the night what it was. Is that we were able to do exactly what we wanted, how we wanted to do it. And it just, like, the atmosphere on the night is something that I've not felt for a while. I mean, we were so nervous going into the event because we'd been heavily marketing the show, posters, flyers everywhere, promoted posts online, and it was just like, for a while, the sales were just not taking off, and we were sat there and like, oh my god, I'm so fucking scared about this. It was the first kind of, you know, risk that we'd taken into a show. And then on the day, I mean, advanced sales had shut up the night before. The door take on the night was great, the amount of people who turned up on the night, and then just everyone came and just had the best time ever. It was so good, the energy. I mean, it was like 500 degrees in the venue because we were just at the start of the heat wave. But it was just such a fantastic night. And it's something I felt the vibe in there that night, and it was something that I've not felt for a long, not since the Crazy House was at its peak. It kind of just had that good magic.
And it's interesting that you say that, you know, often, ladies and gentlemen, when you pick as a promoter, especially when you're working with a band who have prerequisites of what they want, everything's a compromise. Whenever you go to a venue, it's like, okay, we'll do that venue, but there's always a but. We'll do that venue, but we can't fit this amount of people. Or, but we'll do that venue, but the stage isn't as big. Or, but we'll do this venue, but there's no backdrop. Or, but there's always a caveat. There's always something that stops you. But, with the Troubadour, it just seemed like it was open arms. It was like, what do you want to do? We did, the sound system there was blew me away. I was like, this is ridiculous. There's a full truss and everything. It was incredible, and it just seemed like a really healthy and, like you say, creatively welcoming environment. I mean, and I'm sure you're being honest and saying you're worried about the every promoter's always worried about the turnout. So I don't care what your name is, you will worry about that. And I know Chris was worried. I was standing next to him. I was there a little bit before the doors, and I was with Chris, and there was even a point where he was like, is it going to work? And in my mind, I was like, that's crazy. Do you realise the bill you've put together? But I remember then the doors opening and it being absolutely rammed, and turning to Chris and being like, come on, you've won. This is a great venue. You know, this is a great night, and I think, like, you know, you are dealing with someone, Ogun, returning after God knows how many years, and it was important. If that had been shit and you hadn't treated it with the care that it needed, that could have derailed Ogun. Could have been like, well, it was a shit show, that's it, and they might not come back. Like, you know, it's that important. But it wasn't, and it was amazing. Chris, did you feel that? Now you can reflect back on it, you know?
Yeah, now I can reflect back. I still don't believe it happened. But at the same time, actually, with Ogun as well, we go way back. I mean, I grew up with Andy and Joe. Like, we've known each other since we were children. So even to the point of, and Danny as well, to be fair, and sort of as we moved further into it, I was like, if this messes up, this is not just... it's not just a gig on the line. It could be soured friendships. It could be a lot of stuff. For years, I've known these lads. And I mean, you're looking 15, 20 years. So it's sort of at that same point, you're always going to be nervous. Now, me and Jess have worked together for a long time, and we had trust in each other to make sure it ran properly. But we're not doubting each other, but we're still apprehensive, and we always will be. But I just remember seeing the look on everyone's faces as that kicked off. And it was just like, yeah, this is fabulous. Like, this is the atmosphere that we always wanted. All these events that we've pushed for years, we've done the little acoustic slots, we've done like the Bloodstock backstage stuff, we've done everything else, but nothing compared to the feeling in that room that night. Like, nothing I've ever done. And I was like, this is what we wanted. We want to bring that atmosphere. And it's sort of really home back to why we picked Eric, because everyone it felt like it was home. And that's the whole thing with North Shore is, as Jess sort of alluded to, anything we asked about, yeah, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. And they've been absolutely fabulous. And it was And for a venue that's known for having raves on, that's all they've ever really done. Live music, live bands weren't as sort of popular in there. And if they did, they've never done really any heavy metal or anything sort of as left field as sort of Ogun would be. And I always remember the sort of the guys who were there and just come back me up on this. They were like, "We've never had this before, but when are you back?" You know, it was that sort of like, they were like, it was crazy, because even to like 4 a.m. in the morning, is all the bar staff were absolutely loving life with the metal DJs going on and things like that. And you sit there and go, these guys, I've never seen anything like this before, but they're still appreciating it. So you've definitely done something right, because you're speaking to a whole other audience that you didn't want to attract, if that makes sense. Yeah, totally. And Jessica can definitely back me up on that one. It was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think the thing with me and you, Chris, with the way that we work, is there's just an unconditional kind of trust in each other. And so I think for both of us to go into that night so anxious, knowing we've thrown the kitchen sink at it, and then to watch it pay off, I don't think I'll ever forget that adrenaline rush from the end of that.
That's why you do it. That's why you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about becoming a promoter, or you're a promoter yourself, you know what these are talking about. It's the... There is when a show goes well, when it gets paid off, there'll be a moment in that show when you know you've won. It might be even after, but it's normally near the end of the show. You know you've won. And that is an unbelievable feeling to pull that together. Because it's quite often, as is the case here, a team of people behind it. There's multiple people involved in the process. And to pull that over the line is something, you know, it's quite a beautiful... And for me, I've actually seen it happen in real time. And it was the moment just before Ogun went on stage, and I was with them at the side of stage watching them go out, and they have the countdown video and the kind of like the history of Ogun. It was punctuated with pictures from at various venues in Liverpool, and that moment then, and then them coming on and getting the place going fucking crazy, I was like, that means something, that was the thing. It's not like selling lots of tickets or lots of people in an event. It transcended that and become something important and something of note. So when someone looked at that and went, hold on, maybe there is a scene coming back to Liverpool, maybe there is something going on, maybe that we should look at that, this is something going on, that was one of those markers. The North Shore itself is quite a venue. I think you're absolutely right, Jess, when you're saying it's like old school K. It is. And I suppose the dirty secret about North Shore is the people that they used to do in raves and dance, but don't tell anybody, metal crowd. That we love all that, because the sound system's always fucking dead good for those places, and they're always fucking dark places. Don't tell anybody that the metal crowd actually fucking loves that, but there's the news. You know, we need the same sound system. Don't tell anybody. We need that bass heavy, low end stuff. We need that as well as them. So it became beautiful. But what was very noticeable is there's lots of room still. It's a massive place. It's much bigger than you think when you see outside. And there's like a balcony section, there's various other rooms, all unused at the moment. This has the feeling, this venue, of somewhere that can grow. Okay, we're going to open this room and open that room and open this room. As many great venues have done, where they've gone, okay, we had the main stage, but we'll open up another room and call it stage two or whatever. The Troubadour very much feels like a place that could grow now.
It definitely is. I mean, we've got there's the second room ready for us to kind of move into, and as soon as so our plan is, we're going to keep doing this, we're going to keep using this venue, we're going to change it up. At the moment we're going to do it quarterly, just to establish it and not oversaturate it, but grow from that one room into using the second room in the venue, which will be primarily DJ based, and maybe kind of the other reaches of entertainment that we like to put on at our shows. And then the main room, which will be the live, dedicated to live, and then DJs after the show as well. But there are, like you said, there's so many different spaces. There are tiny rooms in there that are set up for DJs and stuff. And the ideas that we've had kicking around, especially after speaking to the promoters about, well, why don't you put a band on in this tiny little room and just have it, like, you know, as many people as can squeeze in there. And I'm like, coming from my experience, I'm like, well, no, that's a health and safety nightmare. I ain't risking for that. But it's just that flexibility and just the space itself and how it's laid out. It just lends itself just to do so many different things. I mean, we've got a rooftop bar, got a rooftop terrace there. And so summer shows will be spectacular. Even in the winter, you know, we can deck it out and we can make it look quite cozy for people to go and smoke and have a drink up there during the show. So it's just it's like entering Disneyland for me and Chris. It's just like, well, what are we going to do with this place?
It's like, yes. Yeah. My mind just goes mental and all the stuff we can sort of put in and change. It's great.
And you'll certainly see how we are kind of pointing into a more diverse direction at this next show that we're doing as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this show. Like, ladies and gentlemen, Terrick have already won this year now because they've got Novacrow headlining, playing their album in full. You know, you talk about one of the hottest bands in Merseyside at the moment. They go and win Metal to the Masses. They go play Bloodstock and do unbelievably well there. You know, they talk about catching a band at the peak, at the zenith, and what a perfect headlining band, because, like, as I've said to Kitty and the guys in Novacrow, that they cover more than the metal spectrum. There's a whole crossover element of what Novacrow. How important was it for you to get them then for this next show, this Christmas show?
Well, that was I know Freddie really well, so we go back quite a bit. And I sort of sat there and I was like, that's so sort of Jess sort of approached me and says, we want to go big with the next one, something a bit more theatrical, something a bit more of a show. And I said, well, we're getting Novacrow then. That there was no sort of maybe should get them. It was, we're getting them then. And that was the sort of instrumental into approaching them. And obviously we've made the offer and everything else has sort of worked out. But it was to get that sort of, because I knew where they were going, and you could see from seeing them over the years is sort of how much they've grown. And they fit right in with our sort of what style we were going for this evening. And I'm just really, I've seen him say to Jess last night, I'm super excited for this show. It's sort of, to this point I'm really sort of, I know it's just going to be wild, but I think it's going to be more than I think it is, if that makes sense, as in sort of a master joke, because I've heard, obviously I've listened to the records back to front by now. And it's sort of, they're only doing two shows for the end of the year. One of them's Birmingham, one of them's here. And it's super sort of, I know it's super important to them as well to get the right, to work with the right team for doing it. And I'm really honored that they've put me in Jess to do it as well.
Novacrow never play Liverpool, really, realistically. They never really kind of play it. You know, I remember talking to Freddie and saying, you know, we need you at the Metal to the Masses because you reflect what's going on within the scene, but they never play it because the at the time, it's just like sort of two or three years ago, you know, maybe more when they first formed, and it's like there wasn't as much of as an interest. Now it's all the way over the other side now, and now people are crying out for this after seeing, like, you know, anybody that saw them at Bloodstock could see that they are now that next level of a band, and what they love. And I talked to Freddie only last night about it. Was the they love the fact that, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, there's always a but when you go to a venue. Okay, you can't have this on because of this. With the Troubadour and yourselves as promoters, Novacrow will come to you with whatever, and I'm sure their live show will be quite something. And they'll be allowed to. The gloves are off. They can do what they want. And that freedom is incredibly exciting to a band, incredibly exciting to be told, well, fucking do what you want, what you want to do. Let's make this show special. And that's why it's so, I mean, I didn't want to kind of, you know, lead necessarily with them, but I think it's so important that, like, it gets mentioned that this is one of the Freddie, like you say, one of two headlining shows this year. So, you know, it's a really good, really good get for you to have that down there. But it's what's more interesting to me, and I love Novacrow a bit, they know that, but what's more interesting to me is the undercard is fabulous. And it's fabulous for all kinds of reasons. Let's get into it. So, I mean, I'll kind of do band thing and do that way. So then we've got Burlesque there, which is, you know, something that is not really, it used to be done back like sort of 10, 15 years ago. It used to be a lot of that within the scene that it would be that. And it was just this wonderful sort of ebb and flow to a show that you would, instead of just having bam, 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 you'd have these things going on. So the burlesque thing, where's that? Where's that kind of come from?
So, literally what you just said. So back in between 2008 and 2012, when we were running, promo shows for Sonisphere, and we came up with the, in fact, rewind all the way back to 2007, sorry, when we used to do Roadkill, shows in Roadkill as well. Tim, who used to be part of what we do, we sat down and we all had a meeting. It was like, look, I'm tired of going to gigs and having that time stood around. I want to turn the gig into a seamless production. I think we just need to keep people entertained and just give people a reason to go out and come to our shows. And so we worked there, and then we met with Stuart at Killy when he was still at Live Nation and discussed our ideas. And he was like, and then that kind of snowballed then for us to start doing the shows, and that was it. So we'd have live music, we had burlesque, we had freak show performers, and then more live music, and it just, the whole night was just one booming party. It just kept going and kept going, and that's, you know, that was it was something that I think we definitely needed to do coming into our next show, because I think in order to kind of build on what we established in July, we just need to keep people interested. We need to keep people coming out. And so by throwing more on, more reasons for people to come out, then especially during the winter when it's going to be harder over the next 2 years to get people out, it's to give them a reason to get out, something that they can't miss. And that's by combining, throwing the kitchen sink at it, basically.
Yeah. It's a lot of the times, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody who's listening to the show will obviously have been to a live show. There are enormous periods of nothing where the band's changing over, or there's these kind of dead spots that happen. And we're in a time now, quite rightly, as Jess says, where everybody wants as much as they can for their money, they're much bang for their bucks. You've got to make shows entertaining. I remember like sort of the early 90s and certainly in the early 2000s where it was almost expected that was happening at the show. Now it'd be like, there'll be comedic acts, there'd be, like you say, freak show. There was a lot of stuff with kind of like extreme tattoo and extreme body modification. There was all kinds of stuff like that because it was seen, like you say, as this massive party. There's this energy. And one of the things that can happen, ladies and gentlemen, is that you can have a show and the energy can wane and dip, and you can't have that. You want it to keep it moving. So you get to the headliners, everybody just goes crazy. And there's various ways to do that. So when I saw Burlesque on there, I thought that was fantastic. And it reminded me, as you say, Jess, of the early 2000s when that was really prevalent in a lot of shows. And I will level to you this, ladies and gentlemen, and anybody on the fence about going to the show. When was the last time you saw any burlesque? So, say you're a metal fan. When was the last time you actually went to a burlesque, separately burlesque show? Well, at this show, you're going to be able to see that and get a taste of that as well. It's like, talk about filling the tickets and filling what's going on at the events. So that's it's another reason. And what will happen, as I'm sure you'll agree, is that you get an element of crossover. People who were maybe more into the burlesque will maybe turn up because it's the way of seeing it through a bit. And maybe, okay, well, let's see some of these bands as well. And that's what this should always be. It should be pulling in the edges of every sort of thing. The people who like this type of metal, the people like this type of metal, the people like burlesque, the people like these type of things. And it's pulling those elements together in one place. It's what originally kind of, I suppose, things like the Ozfest kind of leaned into, where it was like, you know, we've got friends in the tattoo community, we've got friends in burlesque community, in the horror community, and it all pulled in. So I think that was super important. It was always nice as well. The thread line in this, ladies and gentlemen, is Ogun playing as well. So that's beautiful, isn't it, Chris? That's nice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was, and again, after working with Andy and the lads, such a stellar show, and absolutely loved it, but that was their show and we wanted to make it as special as we can. I'd see this one as a bit more of a launch for us as well, if this makes sense. So we've had the Ogun, we had the Terek, but it was Ogun's name with Terek, and we want this to be sort of Terek presents all of this time. And say, so, and it was me and Jess had a conversation, said we're gonna have to get the lads back because there's only so new, but at the same time, they're sort of, they've worked hard with us, so it's a little nod back to them to get them into sort of, I mean, to be fair, they're opening the show, but it's going to be an absolute blast beat of an opening, do you know what I mean? It's yeah. Sort of the same thing. As I say, could Jessica back me up that I'm just really looking forward to the sort of how sort of varied the night's going to be, because there's a little something for everyone. Obviously, as we've discussed, NovaCrow are going to be absolutely bombastic, but then the sort of the burlesque and everything else, it's just a nice sort of, It was more of a sort of, we've worked with and I've known Andy and Joe, as I said, for a long time, and I really appreciate what they're doing, and I love Andy's work ethic and how hard he tries at this. So we want to give him every break we can. You know what I mean? That's like get him out there as much as we can, because I know, you know yourself, you've seen them. We know how good they are. And we need to push them as much as possible, and sort of we'll give them every step we can give them will help.
Well, it's true, and I'm sure you found that a high tide raises all ships. So if you're a promoter and one of the bands that you're promoting and work with suddenly blows up, you benefit from that. Then the venue benefits from that. And everybody benefits from a successful scene on multiple levels. Everybody benefits. It's just the way of things. So, you know, someone would be like, well, oh, hold on, Ogun headlined and now they're opening. Yeah, they are. Because that's a whole different game than if they headline. They can now open. It's a different set. It'll be played slightly differently and approached slightly differently. But that's the point, is that, you know, when bands are coming through the scene and they're moving up, they take different spots and play different nights to kind of feel them out and figure out what they are. And then when they're successful, the promoter becomes successful off that. And it's a relationship. The whole thing is a relationship. So, you know, you should be having bands that become almost the house bands and stuff like that. That should happen, and that's a very natural thing. For me, the most interesting thing, hands down, because I've seen all these bands, I've seen some of this, I haven't seen the burlesque performer, but I've seen these bands, is the kind of the unknown entity. And I love this in venues and shows when they have an unknown entity, because I've been around long enough to see most of these bands, unfortunately. I've been around for a long time. When someone's on there that I haven't seen, and I haven't heard much from, I get really excited. And for me, it's Black Clown. It's just, where did that come from? So let's talk a little bit about that, because that is, and you know, I love Andy and Ogun to bits. Kitty, I love you to bits. But I am going to be front and centre of that because I want to see that. Where did that come from?
So something that we've not really kind of, something that we've kind of kept far off the marketing for this show for a very specific reason. It's actually, so the night is my 40th birthday.
So
behind that, I've been really good friends with Maggie from Fuzzbox for many years now. And originally we were going to do a Fuzzbox show and have Fuzzbox on the lineup. But we got talking somewhat, and she was telling me about her new project. And when she started talking about what the project was, I mean, my head was completely blown off my shoulders. And I was like, so we're going from this kind of, from this punk and latter pop punk vibe into industrial, into this new project, which is her kind of solo project with her band for it, backing her, you know, the genres that she covers is industrial, is metal, is classical thrown in there, and then kind of prodigy kind of dance-esque thrown over it as well. And so when we started talking, I was like, right, this is the one that we're doing for this show, definitely. And for us, for definitely us older ones, having that kind of connection to our past music with Maggie from Fuzzbox, it opens up our selling kind of our market to an older audience as well, and kind of selfishly looking at it, people with a bit more disposable income. And so it's targeting those and being diverse with our offering, and just kind of And from that, we can then push more resources into supporting bands like Ogun, supporting bands like Novacrow, and push it through from there. So certainly, absolutely chomping at the bit to see Maggie's show.
Yeah, I was. I went and listened to the stuff that they've got up now. Blindsided, did not expect that. It fits perfectly, you know. And that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, the promoters try and do where possible is they try and create a bit of a flow to a show. So it's like it can't always be. I've talked about this before with many promoters, but it can't just be one shade and one sound all the way through because it'll become exhausting. If you have three or four bands and they all sound the same, it can all coalesce and become very, very, there's no difference. You want an ebb and a flow. You want different styles within, even within that genre, you can do that. And they really represent that. Like, I was blown away by their stuff. Yeah, it's very industrial, elements of the Prodigy and stuff, elements of all kinds of electronica, you know, Newman stuff and all that type of stuff. It covers a lot of bases there. So that's going to be fantastic. And I don't think they're playing a hell of a lot of shows. I think it's a real catch, a real sort of... I'm always looking for the reasons to go to shows. Not for me, because I go to all of them as whenever I possibly can. But for the people listening, and if you're on the fence once again listening to this, that's your silver bullet. That's your joker card there. You won't have seen this band before. You won't have seen an awful lot like it, and you won't be familiar with the material, which is exactly why you need to go to this show and see this, because it's going to be just more than anything interesting as well as entertaining. So I think that, and then placing that with the other bands, that's just a really varied and interesting build for me. And that's clearly made with love, Chris. It's clearly made with, like, you know, you go, what do we like? What do we know? And what do we want to bring this to what we're doing? And so it seems like the entire thing has been forged with love more than anything else, you know, more than any thought process.
I mean, yeah, it's sort of, and again, me and Jess go way back and we've listened to every style. I've photographed, and I mean, everything on the sun. I mean, I photographed the Prodigy just before Keith passed away. So like I've gone one style of music right there through to the black metal, to the promoting acoustic. And through that years of experience, me and Jess have both learnt that exactly what you're saying is it needs that ebb and flow. You can't have the same sort of sound right across the board because it just becomes stagnant and you get really sort of, you get uninterested or disinterested, shall we say. I wouldn't say you'd leave that point, but it's not a memorable night from that point. Is you remember the headline band and wouldn't remember the supports. But if each band is completely different but still have that ebb and flow, you will remember the standout sets, which is the best sort of lineups I've been to have been completely like left field from each other, but still have that same sort of thread running through them, which is alternative. And that's generally what we're sort of we're vying for. So I sort of, it's a big thing for us to bring this sort of variety to the North Shore. And at the same time, it's friends of ours, it's people we grew up with, it's people we know it means a lot to as well. So we want to make sure that it is the best we can possibly give for them. And everyone else in attendance as well, even to the point of North Shore have come to us and said we've invited some of our rave customers and everything because they've got that sort of. Such a cross sort of. I won't say cross pollination is probably the wrong word, but in a way, sort of, it does appeal to a much wider audience, which is really nice. Yeah,
there is an element across it. I love that. That's me. Whenever I hear that someone's coming to a show that's a lot of elements of metal in that hasn't normally experienced that, my heart sings. That's the win for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how we get more people into the music that we love and show them the things that we love and the artists that we love from our area who wouldn't normally do that. You can't just go, okay, you don't like our music, I'll give you a 3-CD black metal collection that I want you to listen to. It's not gonna work like that, ladies and gentlemen. That's not how that's gonna happen. We have to show them elements of it and make it a friendly environment to come into, to go, okay, you know, let's go. So if you are listening to this and you're not into metal, and why would you listen to this if you are? But if you are and your friend plays you this, I'm here to say that you're going to have a great time here. You might not like heavy extreme metal, you might not like that. I'm telling you now, you will be entertained at this show. You will be. That's the, it's all been set up accordingly. I mean, so that's the 3rd. That's the 3rd of December. Looking forward now to sort of the new year, what can you tell us? What are we looking at? What does Terek look like next year?
So as we kind of started with last night, I think our bread and butter for next year is these monthly bar takeovers that we've got, because that kind of opens us up to generating more income that we can then throw into our larger shows. And certainly our next one after December will be around Easter. And that's going to be another multiple band lineup with the full package of entertainment thrown in around it again. And then we're starting to look at teaming up with North Shore again on running a stage at a festival that they have kind of in development to take place in and around the venue. And so it's kind of building up from there. So get through the next month to the end of the year, and then look from January forwards to grow. Really exciting. This stuff, me and Chris were quite naughty. So the way that we approach something, it's as if we stood there and it's like, right, let's just set it on fire and see what happens. And I think that's our ethics. That's how we work. It's our ethos. Let's just fucking throw the kitchen sink at it and go mad. And if it sticks, it sticks. And that's what I love. I think that's what I love about working with Chris as well, is because I've got someone equally as curious and definitely as naughty as I am. So we can take risks and we can do something. And I think that's the magic about what we do. So we have the 2023 for Terek is, it'll be relatively sensible for us because we do need to grow. And so the risks that we take, we're quite limited by. But it's to build upon that and to keep pushing. And find new talent, like find new bands and get them onto our stage is really important as well. This is what we need to do. So like just jumping back to having Ogun back on the lineup in December, I think another reason why, I wanted Ogun on the Liverpool show because I wanted to see how they progress since their comeback show. They've been in the studio, they've been working on their material. They're now picking up some cool shows down in London and other places. So I want to see the development between the very get-go to where they're at now. And I'm really excited to see that, really excited. And I don't think I would have had anyone different opening up on the night with it being, as I was saying earlier, with it being the birthday show. Ogun were absolutely a shoo-in for it. And so we want to grow. We want to grow next year, and we want new bands to come along and to grow with us, and just start working. And if anyone's listening, any other promoters in Liverpool are listening as well, reach out to us. Let's work together and let's just do something spectacular, because metal's back on Liverpool and the energy behind it, it's just so exciting. I've never been so excited before. That's the next 12 months for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I spent something like 100 and plus episodes trying to put into words my scene and how I feel about it. And I should have really just called Jess and got them to do it in 5 minutes, which is beautiful, beautiful. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, do you need more selling on coming to this show? Why? What else do you need me to tell you to come to this show? The show is on Saturday, the 3rd of December at the North Shore Troubadour. What a show. What a build that we've got to together. I will be there. This is something I've been looking forward to, as you should all shows. Let's set the whole thing on fire, ladies and gentlemen. It's been my pleasure to talk to Jess and Chris today. We're going to have them on again. Of course, we're going to have them on. And I'm trying to work with them to try and do some kind of live show as well, which I still want to do. We're in a world where we're talking about negativity and places closing and all that type of thing, it's beautiful to see a group of people who want to work with bands, help venues, and help create something. And I honestly couldn't be happier. And I'm so privileged to even be a tiny part in what's going on here. But thanks again, folks, for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris and Jess from Terrick Promotions. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chris and Jess, they're talking about Terrick Promotions and Terrick Productions, a wonderful production company that's going to be doing some great stuff. They've already have done some great stuff, so it's really nice to get an insight into their world and what they're going to be doing. And that's, like we said in the episode, that's at the forefront and in the trenches of doing live music. It's very real, and it's something tangible that is happening out there that you can support, something that you can go to and show your support for the scene. I've talked about this before. This is a wonderful Saturday evening, Saturday the 3rd of December. This is at the North Shore Troubadour. Headliners, Nova Crow. I mean, who doesn't want to see that show? It's by Black Clown and Ogun, the wonderful Ogun, as we've talked about before. This is a great bill with some fabulous entertainment as well around it. This is going to be special. This feels like special. The North Shore feels like one of those special venues that's growing. And Terrick Promotions really feels like at the beginning in the right way, as you listen to on the show. Then just the passion and the work ethic really comes across about from Chris and Jess. And I've seen them at the shows getting this done. So I'm looking forward to seeing the show there. And many more shows. They'll not just do shows there. They'll do shows all over the place. And it's going to be nice to show my support and see what happens with it with a great promotions company. And it's always nice to see new promoters come on the scene as well. You know, we talk about that, the promoters and promotions companies and people who put on shows leaving the business. And this is not the case here. This is a wonderful, positive story. So I really would ask you to check them out, follow what they're doing. And if you are in a band or want to help them in any way, get in touch with them. As we've said in the episode, they're more than welcome to listen to bands and take, you know, they want to put bills together that are hugely enjoyable and different and interesting. And I can't wait to see where they go with this. As always, thank you for listening. I really appreciate the feedback, certainly in a live situation at the show. People have come up to me and told me how much they enjoy what's going on and what they want to hear. So that's fantastic to hear. But as always, DM me if you'd like me to check out any shows or do a preview of a show you're running or you're part of. I'm more than welcome to do. If I can fit that in, I'm desperately going to try and do as many of these as I can. As always, thanks for listening, and I will see you at this show.